All right, everybody, happy Thanksgiving coming up. You are listening to the Conservative Reality Check. I hope everybody's having a great day today. It is Tuesday, November 24th, and we are rolling into a crazy time, aren't we? Just absolutely crazy. All right, so first things first. So I did a super quick video yesterday about an update on Sidney Powell and her scenario and situation with the Trump legal team, and kind of gave my thoughts on that. A quick 10-minute video, on my local Republican Women's Group Facebook page. I did a live, and I just want to tell you, I did that maybe yesterday morning, and we've already had over 16,600 people watch that video, plus another 28,000 have actually seen it, or it's been reached. So it's a huge, huge topic. And so I thought what I'm going to do now is really take this into a really big deep dive into what was the summary there. And I want to really talk to you guys a little bit more about what I'm seeing right now, and kind of put a lot of disparate pieces of this puzzle together. So this may be a little bit longer show than normal, but I feel like I need to go into a deep dive because I want people to understand the bigger picture and why I'm so excited and curious and waiting for the crazy to ensue. And I want to maybe answer some questions and from my perspective. Anyway, good old suburban mom that does a lot of research. So, okay, so here's where I'm at. So number one, I am not worried at all about the separation between Sidney Powell and the Trump legal team that happened on Sunday. Let's rewind a little bit and let's go back to Friday, I believe it was, where the Trump legal team had the press conference. It was Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Jana Ellis up there talking about what was going on. And certainly that press conference gave the impression that Sidney Powell was on the Trump legal team, or at least part of it, right? It definitely gave that flavor. I get it. I totally get it. Cause that's what I assumed. Then on Sunday, you see this, Sunday evening, I would say, you see this statement come out from the White House, and it appeared as though Sidney had been kicked, you know, in 2 days had been kicked off the legal team. So the reality of it is she was never on the legal team to begin with. She was, I believe, strategizing and advising and working with them, kind of collaborating, but not being paid through the defense fund that Trump had, that's been set up for the Trump legal defense. And that's one piece of it. Number two, she was out there all weekend on the talk shows talking about the fact that it's not only Democrats that are going to get swept up in this, but there are also some Republicans, including the Republican governor and some people down in Georgia, right? So she's like stirred the pot a little bit with the Republican Party too. And so I feel like what she's done is, she's doing what Trump said he wanted to come here and do, which is drain the swamp. In, you know, whoever gets caught in that swampy activity needs to go. And there are certainly going to be Republicans that are going to swiped into this. And so I think what the president wanted to do there's a couple different pieces and nuances to this. Number one, as an independent lawyer, she can go and do now whatever she wants to do. She can pursue whatever rabbit hole she wants to go down or rabbit holes she wants to go down. And to be perfectly honest with you, I think there's plenty of them. She's also not time bound to the election issues and the election process, like Trump's legal team that Giuliani is running is. I mean, they have very set, very hard deadlines on things. And so I think this division of Sidney's going to go lead this team going in one direction on the massive corruption. And I'm going to drop a couple of terms here. There's treason and sedition. And we're going to talk about those in a minute. I'm going to explain the two differences between them because there is a difference. And then the balloting and election corruption that happened during this election process. And that needs to get divided out, and then people need to run with that. So I think that there's a good, it's good. At the end of the day, I think it's a really good thing that she's off doing this, because she needs to be able to spend time focusing on these bigger picture things. And in that, she's representing we the people, and she's able to get out there and do much bigger things without tainting the presidency. And not that she, not tainting in a bad way, but she needs to be able to solely focus on representing we the people and getting to the bottom of the bigger corruption, which is out there. Okay, so that's a piece of this. There was a lot of discussion too about the fact that maybe Sydney was throwing out, you know, all a lot of accusations without any evidence. That was a whole argument that happened. So look, end of the day, she's not trying to appease the court of public opinion. She's trying to set this up for a legal defense in the court system. And I actually believe she's going to be looking at two court systems. Little known fact over the weekend, I'd forgotten about this, but also that I was reminded of it this weekend, is that she's actually registered as a military lawyer as well. So she can actually argue cases in military court. So she can actually, there can actually be trials in a military court as well as civilian court. So she's got the double whammy on that too. So I think that's an interesting piece of this that, you know, a lot of people don't know or haven't thought about before. So there's that aspect of it. All right. So my show notes today, you can find them down below. I'm going to take a breather here while I'm switching pages. You can follow me on Rumble. That's where I'm primarily posting these videos and these podcasts. You can start a conversation in our group, the Conservative Reality Check group page in MeWe, and you can find me on Parler as well and under Amy Riccardi. So I would encourage you to do all those kind of things. I love the feedback and whatnot that we're getting. So thank you guys for participating in that. Feel free to share these as well. So that's all a good thing. All right. So I'm going to share with you again the video from the press conference. It was an hour and 40 minutes long, super long. A lot of us saw parts of it, but didn't see the whole thing. I have a link below to the entire video for the whole entire thing, so you can get your own context. Stop watching mainstream media's take on what's going on right now, because they took what happened on Sunday. Just so you know, so Sunday night, that White House statement came out saying Sydney's going to be doing her own thing independently. Okay. Immediately when that dropped, Twitter put Sydney's Twitter account on a 12-hour timeout, because that's her primary method of communicating out. So literally they blocked her from being able to respond directly to the White House statement, which she's in agreement with. I mean, they all had a strategy meeting on Sunday, it sounds like, Sunday evening, and literally talked about this and said, hey, look, Sydney's going to go do this. Giuliani is going to go do that. Jenna Ellis is going to go, you know, work on the, on, you know, campaign stuff, and they're going to all coordinate, but there's different swim lanes for everybody. And that's totally fine. Okay. It's totally fine. It's what we want as people of the United States. We want a lawyer that's going to go to town for us. And we want Sidney Powell doing that. She's awesome. If you are looking for, and here's the thing, Twitter is going to continue to throttle Sidney Powell's messages out. Okay. They're going to do everything they can to throttle her. So if you want to understand what she's actually saying, Michael Flynn and Michael Flynn Jr. and Lynn Wood all are people that you need to be following, because they are working with her from a PR, I believe from a PR perspective, sharing her message when her message gets edited or whatever it's getting, or censored or whatever. All right. So, and I'm watching all of them on Parler. You can also grab them in Twitter as well. All right. So here's what we did hear from Sidney Powell this weekend. Today is Tuesday. She made a statement this weekend on an interview, I believe on Newsmax, that I saw, where she talks about this week letting some of the cat out of the bag. If she doesn't do it today, and it's Tuesday morning for me, it's like 10:30 a.m. on the East Coast time for me, for us here in the D.C. area. She also made it clear that Friday is not a federal holiday, so she very well could drop some stuff on Friday. My guess is that she'll wait till Friday for two reasons. Number one, Thanksgiving's Thursday, obviously. Number two, it gives her this whole week to get things squared away. And I feel pretty comfortable in the fact that she needs as much time as possible to start putting this stuff together. I think our court of public opinion is ridiculous in assuming that such a huge and meaty case is going to be brought to the public within 3 weeks of an election. This is stuff that normally takes months, if not years, to prepare and develop. And so don't think in the least bit that she's super worried about the public court of public opinion, because at the end, I believe it's all going to come out and it's going to be mind blowing the degree to which this stuff is happening right now. So I'll put down in the link below the press conference, the original press conference, so you can see that. There was also a really good update in Parler over the weekend. So I'll put that out there too. Ton of really good stuff on the data analysis piece, you guys. I watched some really good stuff yesterday from a woman who had posted about the raw data. And I mentioned this in a previous episode. The raw data on election night was being fed to through the New York Times, I don't really know, but it was being threaded through a common source out to all of the news organizations. And that data is what the pundits were using to call the elections, right? So the raw election data is getting fed into a system that's getting fed out to the news media. Well, what happened was when people started seeing the numbers getting wonky, and then all of a sudden Trump's numbers going down instead of up and whatever, people started capturing that data, the raw data from that source. And data analysts, very brilliant people, have been doing a lot of analysis of the country. And I'm going to share with you a really great video that I caught yesterday about this. So I don't know, I think it's going to be pretty amazing. Okay, so that's kind of the Sidney Powell piece. Watch for something today. If it doesn't drop today, tomorrow is not a federal holiday either, so it could drop tomorrow. My guess, my stronger feeling is it's going to be Friday and then roll into the weekend. So everybody's going to have a really great Thanksgiving, and then Friday, the fun will begin. I don't know. Maybe it's today. Maybe it's tomorrow. I don't really know. We'll find out. But sometime this week, I feel pretty strongly she's going to start dropping some stuff, some big stuff. And I think it's going to be pretty incredible. So keep the faith. Now, let's jump over to the GSA business that happened yesterday. So look, the woman who heads up from the government of the General Services Administration, it's a government agency that oversees procurement and budgets, and GSA also oversees allocation of physical spaces and government-owned facilities and a lot of other things. They're kind of like the General Services Administration. It's the general services of the government all kind of get purchased and run through the GSA. And they're also responsible for the beginning of the transition process. The woman who was the head of the GSA's transition component was getting threatened, harassed, doxxed, her pets threatened, her children threatened, her family threatened, everything else. It was absolutely horrific what the Democrats are doing. Absolutely horrific. How, again, that stuff is not illegal really, really blows my mind. I really don't understand how the FBI and the DOJ aren't going after people for all these threats, especially like elections officers, government officials, etc. Like, you just can't do this stuff. And apparently, if you're a Democrat, maybe you can. I don't understand how this stuff is not getting prosecuted. I really don't. But in fact, it's not. I think that's going to all come out too here in a bit. But she was getting so seriously harassed. The president sent out a tweet last night, basically, or yesterday afternoon, basically just saying he has given the GSA the authority to go ahead and start a limited component of the transition, which I believe means that Biden will have an office and some funds will be transferred over to Biden for him to get things set up. Now, Trump made it enormously clear in his tweets that this is not a concession by, there's no conceding to this election right now. It's not happening. So I want to just be super clear about that. I think he made it just ginormously clear in every way, shape, and form. But I want to, let's do real Donald Trump. There's so many things. Her name's Emily Murphy. That's her name. So remember, the GSA has been terrific, and Emily Murphy has done a great job, but the GSA does not determine who the next president of the United States will be. That was his tweet from about an hour ago. And he goes on to, actually earlier here, said he concedes nothing and all kinds of stuff. So I just want you to be aware that he's not conceding, and this is not, this is just a baby step. All right. Just a baby step. I think he's toying. It's like a cat toying with a mouse. I feel like he's just kind of toying with them at this point. I think there's a lot of things that are getting ready to happen. So let's talk a little bit about that. And in doing so, let's talk about the definition of treason, sedition, and subversive activities. This is all part of 18 U.S. Code Chapter 115 called Treason, Sedition, and Subversive Activities. And, you know, I think there is a lot of interesting stuff. Actually, I'm going to take a back step, and this is going to be another mind-blowing one. Okay. So I have a lot of different interesting sources of information that I'm looking at right now for all of this stuff, because you're not going to get information from mainstream media anymore. All you're getting is propaganda. That's really the word I think I'm going to start using instead of fake news. It's propaganda, which, by the way, I'm going to use that term because it's a legal term. And I think what we're getting right now is propaganda. All right. So you can't go to mainstream media, any of them anymore, to really get news. And I feel like this is of really great interest. So there's a podcast that I follow. One of the gentlemen on the podcast is currently a law enforcement, is in law enforcement at the federal level. And they have a source in the DOJ who is close to the Durham investigation, who back in April shared with the podcast folks a list of indictments, sealed indictments from the Durham investigation. There are a lot of people, all names you probably know or you've heard of, and that were all involved in the Russia hoax, the FISA court stuff, all of that happened, right? So Durham does his initial investigation. Back in April, he creates an initial list of indictments, which are currently sealed and are being, I'm assuming, reviewed by grand juries. Some of these people are swept into multiple grand jury investigations right now. So these aren't the only ones, but these are some pretty big charges. Let me just, I'm not going to read all of them because there's 12 names you'll definitely know. And then there are also in here in this list, 4 CIA operatives that have been indicted, but no charges were listed. My guess is those 4 people have fessed up and are ratting out others. So that's kind of my guess. That was what they said in the podcast. And I think that's probably pretty straight up. So the reason I'm going to mention some of these is that the language goes into the whole issue goes into the language I'm going to getting ready to do. Now, look, these are what I'm going to call kind of baseline charges. And I believe this is kind of the minimum. And then they go to grand jury, they continue to investigate, and there may be elevated charges from this. But there's a really long list of indictments that are supposedly sealed, arrest warrants signed for, but didn't get executed. And the question is kind of why, and why has this been sat on all summer long and now into the fall? And then you're starting to see, yes, Durham's getting ready to come out. Oh no, he's worried about the blowback from the Biden administration, et cetera. And so we're getting a lot of this, again, propaganda. We don't know what's what, but I'm going to read just a couple of these that are on here and you're going to be mind blown. Loretta Lynch, former U.S. Attorney General, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 2 counts obstruction of justice, 3 counts of lying to Congress. Sally Yates, former U.S. Deputy Attorney General, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 3 counts obstruction of justice. I will put the link to the whole podcast in here. It's a 2-hour long podcast. It's very, very long. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can go listen to it yourself. John Brennan, former CIA director, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 3 counts of lying to Congress, 2 counts of lying to investigators, 1 count of conspiracy to commit treason, 3 counts of obstruction of justice. Big one. James Clapper is in here, former director of National Intelligence, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 2 counts of lying to Congress. James Comey is listed in here, former FBI director, 3 counts conspiracy to overthrow the government, 6 counts of perjury, 4 counts obstruction of justice, 4 counts falsifying government documents. He's also the subject of other grand jury investigations. I'm just trying to decide how much of this list, because it's all on the podcast. Andrew McCabe, former deputy director of the FBI, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 2 counts of perjury, 3 counts of lying to Congress, 1 count of falsifying documents. So I listened to this podcast section about 12 times to make sure I got all this correctly in here. So Bruce Orr, former senior DOJ official, 3 counts of conspiracy, unclear what type it was, and 1 count of falsifying documents. James Baker, former FBI general counsel, indictments, but the charges are unknown. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page is in here too, just for those of you guys listening. Former FBI agent in chief of the counter-espionage section, which I think is very fascinating. 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 4 counts of perjury, 3 counts falsifying documents, and he is still subject to another grand jury investigation. Lisa Page, former FBI lawyer, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 3 counts of perjury, 3 counts of falsifying documents. Rod Rosenstein, the former deputy attorney general, 5 various charges that are unknown at this time. Susan Rice, former U.S. national security advisor. This one is really interesting because she reported directly to Obama. Illegal use of government systems, which I believe is the abuse of the FISA court system information. 3 counts of perjury, 1 count of obstruction, and she's also the subject of another grand jury. That's the whole list I just shared with you. So I got this information last week through this podcast that came out in April, right? I believe what's happening, these are huge charges, several with conspiracy to overthrow the government. And the one biggie in here that I'm trying to find again is, hold on, give me 1 second. I'm scanning through this really quick. We've got several with conspiracy to overthrow the government. That's Loretta Lynch, Sally Yates, John Brennan. Oh, yeah, John Brennan. This is the good one that you got to pay attention to. Former CIA director, 3 counts of conspiracy to overthrow the government, 3 counts of lying to Congress, 2 counts of lying to investigators, and then the big one, 1 count of conspiracy to commit treason. Okay. Now, conspiracy requires 2 people, and the second person is not on this list. I thought that was a really interesting, an interesting point in this list, and they skirted over it a little bit in the podcast, but conspiracy requires at least 2 people. John Brennan was the former CIA director. Again, he reported then to the president. Somebody else had to conspire with him for them to come up with these charges. So there are names left off of this list. Which direction did he do the conspiracy with? Did he go up with the conspiracy or down with the conspiracy? But somebody else in this whole play is on this list. So I was going to do a whole separate podcast with this, but I feel like this stuff just all needs to come out because I want people to understand, look, there is a huge play here, a huge play. We are not right now going to know them, and we shouldn't even be demanding to know them right now because this stuff is so massive. So massive, right? These were the starting points for the indictments. Who knows? Who knows? But let's talk about conspiracy to commit treason. God, I sit here and I read this stuff and I'm just like, how is all this stuff just not, like all the stuff going on right now is just not included. All right. So straight up the definition of treason from 18 U.S. Code 2381, all right? Whoever owning allegiance to the United States, levies war against them, or adheres to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere, is guilty of treason and shall suffer death, or shall be imprisoned for not less than 5 years and fined under this title not less than $10,000 and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. Okay. So giving aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere to any of our enemies. So China would be included in that. Cuba, Venezuela, like there's a whole long list, Iran, a whole long list of countries that are considered enemies of ours. And yeah, so there's treason. All right, go back to misprision of treason. So that's if you have knowledge of the commission of any treason, you conceal and you do not disclose to the president or some judge of the United States or to the governor or some judge of justice of a particular state, is guilty of misprision of treason and shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 7 years or both. All right, so that's knowing about it. This one gets really fun, rebellion or insurrection. Whoever incites, sets foot on, assists or engage in any rebellion or insurrection against the authority of the United States or the laws thereof, or gives aid or comfort thereto, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 10 years or both, and shall be incapable of holding any office in the United States. That's rebellion or insurrection, which I think is exactly what's going on. All right, so seditious conspiracy. Okay, this one also applies to a few or some or maybe a lot. If 2 or more persons in any state or territory or in any place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States conspire to overthrow, put down, or to destroy by force the government of the United States, getting a phone call, or to levy war against them, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any laws, or by force or cease to take possession of any property. Basically, this is you're conspiring to overthrow the government. So I think seditious conspiracy has everything to do with the election stuff. If Sidney Powell's work, if Sidney Powell's work is in any way, in any way uncovers any of this election fraud or this election conspiracy, it falls under the Seditious Conspiracy Act. I mean, I think that it's pretty obvious here. So there's a lot of, these are big things, you guys, and it takes an awful lot. I would guess it takes an awful lot to prove them. So we need to just be really, really patient. All right. We need to be really, really patient. And I'm going to kind of end this and wrap this up really quickly and just say this. I believe firmly that the president has known about this election fraud stuff since at least the 2016 election. Okay. The reason I think that is General McInerney, before this election, on like Sunday or Monday, right before this last election, so it would be November 2nd or 3rd, there were several people that had him on their show, and he talked about the 2016 election fraud that happened, and that he and Sidney Powell had been talking about this for some time. So she is aware of what happened in 2016, what might have happened, and I believe what they did is they set a trap in this to watch all this stuff for 2020, because in 2018, again, a previous podcast I covered, the executive order from September of 2018 that the president put out that specifically talks about propaganda, cheating in the election process, all this kind of stuff. So all of this stuff happened, and the president put out that executive order, and that executive order literally is still in play today. So any of the cheating, if it doesn't get swooped up under these federal things, definitely gets caught up into the bigger net of the executive order that's still in play today. So news organizations, George Soros, any of the funders of any of this stuff. And by the way, if you or your organization aren't guilty, namely Dominion Software Systems, why have you closed up offices? Why have more than 100 of your people taken Dominion off of their LinkedIn profiles? Why have you closed up offices all over the country and all over the globe? Why are people now not being able to be found? You know, it's just, you don't go into hiding if you have nothing to hide. Why'd you lawyer up? Why'd you not show up to the Pennsylvania State House to testify last Friday and lawyer up the night before and then be a no-show? Like, guilty people do these kind of things. Not guilty people don't. I get getting a lawyer, even if you're innocent, to help protect you and make sure that you are. But all the other things, no, not so much. Not so much. So this is where we're at right now, you guys. Again, it's a stamp in time. Today things will happen. Tomorrow things will happen. We'll all have Thanksgiving. Hopefully it will be peaceful. And then Friday, I think more things will happen. And then we've got the next several weeks. And again, more and more and more will be uncovered to us. You have got to keep your faith. You have got to stay strong. We've got to focus on fighting this battle first. The whole Georgia thing, that's a whole nother show that we'll cover. I'll do maybe the next show on the whole Georgia thing. But right now, we have to stay super focused on enjoying our holiday, enjoying our time with our family, not abiding by the crazy mask mandates in your house that Pennsylvania's got, or these rules about Thanksgiving. Just be smart, be respectful. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for following. If you like this, make sure you grab it on the link on Rumble. Feel free to share it. I'm not putting these out in mainstream social media. I thought about doing it. I put one of them out into YouTube and got immediately trolled. So I'm going to just stick with what I know. It's working well, which is Rumble and MeWe, Conservative Reality Check on MeWe and on Rumble. And Parler, my account is Amy Riccardi. Have a great rest of your week. Maybe there'll be another podcast tomorrow. It depends on what happens. Otherwise, we'll wait maybe till Friday to put out another one. I'm excited for you guys to be here. Thanks for listening. Feel free to share it, and I will talk to you guys soon.